And now on to Campus Caravan, the third annual Campus Caravan Summer Festival with Pete Fornatel.
We are friends because of the radio, in a way, because I, as a student at Queens College, listening to and working on a campus radio station that did not have an FM frequency, listened to some college radio and literally by accident stumbled upon this radio station called WFUV some 10 years ago, coincidentally with our 10th anniversary, and it was Pete's show, and it was the middle of the Campus Caravan, and I thought, my Lord, I never heard anything like this. We became friends because I heard this show on the air in 1967, and he was working up there, and I wrote a letter and wanted to come up and see the operation, as I called it then. One college radio person to another college radio person.
I received a call from Dennis Elsis, and we have many, many friends and listeners over at Queens College, and they are back on the air this year at WQMC, which is the college station for Queens, and apparently Thursday is the big day. They'll be on the air from 9 until 6 with programming that defies description, covering all angles of music, entertainment, and information, folk, rock, jazz, classical, lectures, interviews, you name it. It'll be in the Student Center, and look for Dennis because he's one heck of a fantastic person.
In mentioning mail, I neglected to say one thing that has to be said. Dennis Elsis sent a letter to the show. I guess at home, as a matter of fact, this week, and I don't know how to say what the letter did for me. It was such a boost in spirits, coming from a guy who is on his own so professional and who contributes so much to radio through his efforts at WQMC at Queens College, to compliment the program and its influence on him personally, as he did in the letter. It was such a fantastic thing. You know, we'd like to let him know that we appreciate it. We appreciate it very much.
A year ago, what happened, Dennis?
A year ago, WQMC, the good sound in campus radio at Queens College, went on the air. January 30th, to be exact.
And one of the voices of WQMC has been, and of course is, Dennis Elsis, a frequent visitor to the show and now a friend of mine because of our, you know, mutual background in this kind of a nutty business. And what's the festivities going to be like, if any, then?
Well, basically, tonight is a party, and I can't give Howie's address out, otherwise we'll have a million people there. But it's been 1 year since we went on the air, and it's been a good year for a lot of people. I think over 100 to 150 people have worked on the station or are working on the station, giving them a chance to learn something about radio, and more importantly, I think, about working with people. And we've started from what was 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon to now what's 8 in the morning and 7 in the evening, and with a lot of good programming, mixture, and very exciting.
What's particularly great about that is that this type of radio is always a two-way street. In other words, they may take very much in knowledge that they've learned, but they contribute so much in time and talent that it, you know, equals out so quickly. In the meanwhile, Dennis, back to you for a second. What was the first record ever played on the new, then new, WQMC?
The very first record, which was on the Dave Demsky Show, was with Spencer Davis and Gimme Some Lovin'.
Last week's show was made a little bit more special by the presence of one of our favorite people, Dennis Elsis from WQMC at Queens College. And it came to my attention through the mail
that today is Dennis's birthday. And a good friend of his, Sherry Prince, wrote in, reminded us of that fact, and wanted us to play something special for the occasion from her to him. Shadow of Your Smile was the particular song she requested, which, you know, I unfortunately couldn't get a hold of in time. But I know that both of them would enjoy this very much because it is one of their favorite things in the world. And if you've heard it before, it's probably one of yours, too. This is Frank DiLiggio's lyrics, if you want to call them that, and Bob Hughes' narration, complimenting a Beach Boy tune called Let's Go Away for a While.
Far away where smiles are, where day and night forget to change, where streams of perfumed blonde hair flow in the winds to bear a strange song. Let's go away for a while, there to hear the music of soundless seashells sleeping on the shore.
They were in concert last evening at Queen's College with Jim Queskin and the Jug Band, and I have mixed emotions about the evening. I really do. To give you an accurate picture of what happened, it was a turtle crowd, 2,000 of them, who couldn't possibly have cared or understood what the Jim Queskin Band was trying to accomplish. That's a fine group. I mean, I am not a jug band music addict, but it's a fun kind of thing to see, and they certainly gave of themselves. They're six very talented, sensitive people who tried to please that audience. There were no put-downs. There was no animosity on the part of the performers. They were genuinely trying to understand how a group could be so impolite as to talk, neck, anything you could name, right during the whole course of their performance. It was a disgusting display of an audience turnoff, and I was very, very upset. Of course, the people close to Campus Caravan from Queens College were great. Like my host for the evening, Dennis Elsis, and his date, Sharon Prince, are two beautiful people. And we kind of felt embarrassed together that things should be so upsetting. Howie Wolonetz, also a staff member at WQMC, Kurt Lader, who writes a pop column for the Central House Plan paper that sponsored the concert. We all shared our misery together after the thing was over as to how an audience could be so belligerent, and there's no other word I can use to describe it. That was the toughest crowd I've seen since, you know, the Coliseum with the Christians and the Lions. It was just absolutely amazing. That sort of dimmed even the turtle slot on the show as far as I was concerned, but they came through. Their good time music is something that can be enjoyed by any kind of audience from 6 to 60. Okay, so they're not profound. Does every rock group have to be profound, or can some just entertain the masses? Well, they certainly attempted that, the Turtles, that is, and I think they were quite successful, so I'd like to devote some segment of the show today to their work released in the last year. And I'd also like to thank Dennis Elsis again for being host par excellence out at Queens last night, despite some of the awful things that happened. If I've offended anyone, I'm sorry, but, you know, we call the shots as we see them. Here's the Turtles and Happy Together.
You know, I don't know how many of you know this, but we finally made it on last week at about 5 minutes to 2 o'clock. And what happened was very simply we introduced Carlo and the Endless Pulse and played both sides of the record. And Dennis Elsis was here. He took the copy of the record we had to play out at Queens College, which he has been doing all week, and reported great things on it, by the way. And I had a tape of the thing at home. We managed to air check that 7 or 8 minutes that we did do, and I listened, like, as often as I could all week, and it became a very tough thing to do, deciding which side I dug more, you know? But that is the one that Laurie's pushing. It's on the Laurie label, and it's the Endless Pulse, Carlo Mastrangelo, Tony Caraleo, and Fudgy. And we're going to find out why just Fudgy in just a little while from right now.
This is Campus Caravan with yours truly, Pete Fornitzell, over WFUV, 90.7 FM, New York. And from 1 until 2 o'clock today, we're going to explore the extremely fine talents of a new group on the scene, The Good Earth. And we'll be talking to the personnel in the group in just a while, plus some live music. And I think we'll start that off right now without any kind of introduction at all, and then just get into the business of what makes hit records and fantastic groups like this. Go ahead, Phyllis.
What's gone wrong with Mary? I hear them say.
And I won't cry.
Bye,
won't
me.
Cry. No, I won't cry. As long as you've been by me.
You know, I feel about as nervous as if I were doing my first show 4 years ago. It is that much of an auspicious occasion today. I first must apologize for misleading you in the sense that today was going to be devoted to our fourth annual summer special. It is not. Allow me to clear that up right away. The reasons for it should become obvious in a very short time. You know, life is quite unpredictable. I think we all know that, and if we don't, we are forced to become aware of it every once in a while with extraordinary incidents and circumstances. I guess the most radical awareness of that came 3 weeks ago. At that time, Robert F. Kennedy was running for president of the United States, and today that whole scene is certainly quite different from what it originally started out to be. Well, the same can be true of a out-of-the-way, small, insignificant radio show, as is the case today. Yeah, we wanted to do the summer special, and we owe you that program, and we'll bring it your way next Saturday as part of our 4th of July weekend ceremonies and celebration. But why was it put off? Well, because a week ago, nobody could have known the turn of events which would lead us to where we are at today. And when I say we, I speak in terms of the editorial we that has been Campus Caravan for over a year now, Frank DiLiggio and myself. Things are happening, man, and you better know about them because it's going to be a groovy summer. That first song was called Stand By Me. It was a demo record recorded a couple of years ago by a group called The Good Earth from North Carolina. They came to the big city with it and played it for Bob Crew, and he dug it so much that he signed them to a Dynavoice contract, and they released an album, which we've been talking about. We had the group on the show a couple of weeks ago, and, well, we've been pushing them. There's no doubt about it. They are personable, talented guys that we dug, and therefore we wanted you to be aware of their material instead of having it swept away in a corner where nobody would ever be able to hear it. The group has had its problems with the draft and with summer school and with inner tension leading to a member's departure, you know, none of which is predictable either. However, my contact with The Good Earth came through Dennis Eltzis, a friend of the caravan for a long while now. And without him, none of what I'm talking about would have happened.
Yes!
You know, it's very, very, very difficult to be as objective about this entire scene as I'm trying to be. I don't know if it's coming off or not, but I'm not going to worry about it. I hope you're not going to worry about it either, because the value is in the music anyway, not in my mouth, so, you know, no sweat. This is Campus Caravan with yours truly, Pete Fornital, over WFUV 90.7 on your FM radio dial in New York. Our purpose here today is to explore the happenings, music-wise, in the career of the Good Earth over the course of the last 52 weeks. And it was 52 weeks ago today that these people, whom I had never seen before in my life, suddenly became one of its major, major influences, okay? We decided to bring the Good Earth to the place that I knew best, Maria Regina Diocesan High School in Uniondale. And we arranged a concert for December 20th. It was a Friday night, first day of Christmas vacation, 5 days before Christmas. And regardless of what has or will ever happen to any of the individuals involved, that evening did occur, and it was a beautiful one. And I'd like to share that all with you for however long it takes from now and until we run out of time here today. I understand from Tom Luciani that we may be in danger equipment-wise. There is, you know, one of those far-out hassles with transmitters that I can never hope to understand that could conceivably interrupt the content portion of the program today. I hope that is not the case, because we're going to run the concert through as straight and as much true to life as it happened as is humanly possible under these circumstances. Personally, I can only say that there have been times in the last few weeks, like last Monday and last Thursday of this week, for example, when I wished more than anything else in the world that instead of being May 1969, just for a little itty-bitty while, it could once again be December 20th, 1968. And I know how impossible that is, and I know how weak it is to think in terms that it could be that way. But what can I say? I was trapped into that line of thought. Because if it were December 20th, 1968, I'd be able to share with you all the magic of the Good Earth in concert at Maria Regina Diocesan High School.
Here we stand, leering man for man. I can see in your tremble what you're thinking. All we feel is ugly contraband. All we've learned is quickly sinking. Shall we go back 600 years ago and start a new crusade to save our sins? Do you think that we could get along, buddy?
There are some among us who have been privileged to share the Roscoe experience beyond the confines of one small FM radio, and I invited several of those people here today because we're in a kind of elite club, you know. After your various visits either to here or Queens College or Fairleigh Dickinson, we have our own grapevine between us to see how things are going in case any one of the three of us has not contacted you personally in between time. And I thought we'd just open things up to a lot of the people who are doing creative radio, not on the NEWFM level of commercial success, but the underground communication aspect of things. And Dennis Elsis is here from Queens. Isaac Hursley is here from Fairleigh Dickinson University. And I didn't want to frustrate their own innate radio talents and abilities by just having them sit there silent for 2 hours. Dennis, do you have any new problems that have arisen since we last spoke to the gentleman across mic there?
Well, one question, Roscoe, that has concerned me is, where does WNEW-FM go from here? When it started and you came out to Queens, it was October, and people knew you, but as Pete said, not that many know you. But now everyone knows Roscoe and Jonathan and Scott and Allison, and the NEW-FM is definitely, you know, stereotyped or what, the new groove, and it is the new groove. And the commercials are rolling in, and the ratings are up. And then how do you avoid getting so much into one bag, into one groove, that the station goes stagnant? You know, where does it go from here? It's so easy now to sit on our laurels and rest.
Well, Dennis, resting on our laurels would be complete damnation, say. we hope not to rest on whatever laurels. We had a meeting 2 weeks ago that was most effective, and it was a hot meeting, and we were constructively tearing one another apart. Because we are thinking of the overall thing and not just the one show. Jonathan doesn't think specifically about his show. He'll think in terms of my show, Allison and Scott. And Scott does the same. Allison does the same. We offer a lot to one another. And it was a very constructive meeting. And it was not a meeting whereby you sat down and you applauded one another. Or there was the pettiness of ridicule of someone else's show. Yeah. Well, look at what Goldstein, excuse me, what Richard Goldstein wrote about Jonathan Schwartz.
Yeah.
He says that compared to these guys and so forth, Boss Radio, he's a superstar because he dares be himself. You notice that there was that slow acceptance first. They were saying, you know, well, what? You know, what's he doing?
Woody Allen.
Then later on they started saying, man, I don't know why I like him, but I just like him.
You have to hear this. Dennis, one line of your Jonathan Schwartz, please, for the people.
Jonathan Schwartz of WNEW-FM. Relating it to my childhood, I learned the alphabet very early, and that's why I could do WNEW-FM so well.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
I was thinking of something today, that means very much to me, and I hope you can share the vibrations of what I'm about to lay on you. If you're a listener to the show for any longer than a 1 or 2 year period, it must have become obvious to you how our involvement with the Good Earth completely changed the very basic nature of this program. And as I think back to that show, which occurred on June 1st, 1968, almost 2 years ago, I am reminded of the weird circumstances by which I was introduced to the group. You know, all of the involvement with Bill, now Oliver Swofford, and all of the involvement with James Connolly Dawson came about as a direct result of one of the weirdest relationships that was ever engendered by this particular medium. It was about 3 years ago, in February of 67. I was a senior at Fordham at the time, still doing these, you know, 12 to 2 every Saturday type things. And I received a phone call from a wet behind the ears college radio person from Queens College by the name of Dennis Elsis, who was just in the process of launching an attempt at serious, progressive, relevant college radio at Queens. And, well, you know, I've said this before. Think about your friends just for a second. Think about the people that you spend most of your time with. Like, where do they come from and why are they there? In most cases, it's based on proximity. It's because this cat is a neighbor of yours. You live in the same two-block area. Or this cat went to school with you and sat in classes with you for 4 years on a 5-day-a-week basis. Or this cat was introduced to you by someone you dig very much, you know. Unless you're in this business, how often is it the case that one of the most important relationships and friendships in your life comes about as a direct result of someone accidentally stumbling with their radio onto the station where you happen to be doing a broadcast? And yet that's exactly where things were at for Dennis and myself 3 years ago. And, you know, similar interests, similar views on music and communications made it very easy to cross the line between listener to a radio program and horribly intertangled friend, you know. And if you have taken my sound solid advice and listened to WVOX on Sundays from 9 until 12 midnight, you know that I am very partial to what Dennis does radio-wise because it is very similar to my own thing. And maybe it's kind of selfish, you know, to feel that close to something like that, but I do, and I certainly hope you do too, because it really eases even the worst case of the Sunday night blue meanies. And therefore, I would suggest that all of you, if you have the time and are within the listening area of WVOX, tune in tomorrow evening between 9 and midnight for Dennis's show. Their frequency is 93.5 FM. I did not mention that last week, but it's hard to get because there are two stations kind of crowding it out on either side. But if you work at it and if you're interested enough, it can happen. But that's all something else again. Is that mic on, Tony? Let's try a two mic thing. Is that on? It's on now. One other interesting behind-the-scenes fact about one of your favorite radio persons. I've given up on thinking that birthdays are anything special. You know, I mean, birthdays are really nothing more than anniversaries of your birth. And I can remember really getting into the fact that another birthday was coming around. But now who cares, you know? It's also damn relative, and it's also intertwined with all kinds of emotional feelings about what it means for another year of your life to have passed by. That, you know, I'm not really into birthdays, but I would like to mention the fact that Dennis has one coming up on February 3rd. February 3rd, which is Tuesday? Yeah. And I don't know why this is in my head, Dig, but there's this aura of superstition that surrounds the church calendar. Okay, now I was at Fordham for 8 years, man, and they really put it into your brain, subliminally or otherwise. They really put these things into your head. And like around here, February 3rd was like more important than Easter, man, more important than Christmas. Because February 3rd is the feast day of this cat called St. Blaise, dig? And St. Blaise blesses throats, right? So if you're in radio, this is the cat that like makes the year for you, because you don't want to wind up like Scott Muni, you know, with all of those kind of problems. And so it just amazes me. There must be something in the vibrations of this whole thing that brings home the point very clearly that if your birthday happens to be February 3rd, get out of radio. I don't know what to say to you. What could I possibly say to you besides happy birthday and thank you for coming today and garbage like that, and thank you for introducing me to the good earth, or half of the good earth, and thank you for bringing Jonathan and Kathy up today, because we're going to do some fun things between 1 and 2 o'clock. What do you have to say for yourself, radio person?
Hi there, nice people.
Well, that's enough.
Nothing. I think we should play some more music so that we can do Jonathan and Kathy at 1 o'clock.
Huh? Oh, always write down straightest distance between two points is a straight line. You want to get to the business of the day. Okay, no shtick.
Pete, you know, nobody's, they all went home early today.
I know, the office is closed.
So we, you know, it's you and I running the shop here.
Playtime.
You think, you want to try our, we'll do the best of Muni imitations, because he's not around. He's probably out busy shopping, you know, and he won't hear us or anything like that.
This is true. And, I mean, you know, people tune in on holidays expecting to hear the voice that they are familiar with.
Mine?
Well, that
I'm
may
here,
be.
I'm here every holiday. You, I'll tell you what, you know, I know you had a little throat problem there. And can you do Scott as an intro, and then I'll try and do it?
Listen, I have been listening to Scott Muni.
No, don't get into that.
I have been listening to Scott Muni on New York radio nigh on to 16 or 17 years now. If I can't do it, then nobody can.
Right. He started as a 12-year-old. Incredible.
That's true. Okay, right. Wait. First you got to... Okay.
I used to listen to Pete Fornatel on WFUV when I was quite young. And I remember Dennis Elsis, too, up in New Rochelle. And I just, you know, afternoons when we get together here, we're all part of a large family, and we all try to not really sound like each other, but sometimes it's possible, so we do something, you know. And it's, I guess Scott's the toughest voice to do, but Pete, I used to listen to you when you were up at Fordham.
Gee, that,
how is it?
That is just
uncanny, isn't
incredible.
It? Uncanny.
You talked about New Rochelle. You know, I did my first professional radio show up in New Rochelle 8 years ago on New Year's Eve, because they couldn't get anybody, and they called. Let me try and do a Scott Muni intro, though, because it is New Year's Eve day.
WVOX, New Rochelle. Happy New Year, everyone. This is Dennis Elsis for Scott Muni.
2 hours? Like that, huh? Songs dealing exclusively with the topic of summer and those that were hits during the months of June, July, and August. I hope you've counted the number of times I've said the word summer. If you are on the nose or closest to it, you'll receive a long playing album by Every Mother's Son or Sam the Sham and the Pharaoh, somebody like that. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Send your entries as well as your comments to Campus Caravan, care of WFUV, Fordham University, Bronx, New York, 10458. If the response to this show is as huge as it was for the past 2 years that we've done it, we'll run it again in August because it's such a groove. As far as I'm concerned, I want to wish you all of the best. Summer is just 1/4 of 365 days. Many of those days are spoiled by summer jobs or by bad weather. So enjoy every last one of them that you can to the fullest. Bikini watchers, unite and enjoy yourselves in this, celebrating the Campus Caravan Summer Special, 1967. My thanks especially to the chairman of the board, Mr. Francis Deligio. Frank, thank you very much for a job that ranks, if not better than, at least equal to that of the past 2 years. Music Makers Record Store in the Bronx for providing so many of the fine summer sounds. This is yours truly, the sixth Beach Boy, Pete Fornital, and I'll see you next Saturday at high noon, everybody. It was, and what a time it was. It was a time of innocence, a time of confidences. Long ago, it must be. I have a photograph and a tape recording. Preserve your memories. They're all that's left you.